Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel just read, and I'd like to focus particularly on the last two verses, 37-38. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, when I was confirmed back in 1960, one of the gifts I received on that occasion was the fairly newly issued edition of the New Testament by J.B. Phillips, a present from my godmother and uncle. This New Testament by Phillips is one of the best of the modern, freer translations of the New Testament. It became a favourite of Dr. Herman Gockel in St. Louis, who wrote many excellent devotional books. In 1967, about 10 years after his New Testament first appeared, Phillips wrote a little book called Ring of Truth. This little book came out of his experience in writing the New Testament. It came out of a period of serious illness in which he was led more and more into the Word of God. And he says also, "I wrote this book partly because I was angry. I was angry particularly over one incident in which an old retired clergyman in England had taken his own life because his reading of higher critical theology had led him to conclude that his own life's work had been founded upon a lie." And Phillips writes in the foreword to this little book, Ring of Truth, "Few people have had such a close and constant contact with the New Testament as I have. I therefore felt it was high time that someone who has spent the best years of his life in studying both the New Testament and good modern communicative English spoke out. I do not care a rap what the avant-garde scholars say. I do very much care what God says and does. I have therefore felt compelled to write this book. It is my testimony to the historicity and reliability of the New Testament. It is my serious conclusion that we have here in the New Testament words that bear the hallmark of reality and the ring of truth." And the same applies to us. The more we occupy ourselves, familiarise ourselves with the New Testament under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the more we become impressed too with the ring of truth. To take only John's Gospel for example, the conversations recorded in this Gospel, Jesus with the woman at the well in Samaria, or the debates between Jesus and his enemies, the Pharisees and the other enemies amongst the Jews. All these debates have the ring of authentic, truthful reporting. They are really alive and vital. They have the ring of reality about them. At the centre of John's Gospel stands the one who is the truth himself, the one who called himself the way, the truth and the life, who promised that if we continue in his word, we will know the truth. He was the one who spoke the truth openly and freely in the temple and the synagogue. He didn't go around whispering and politicking and planning behind closed doors the way his opponents did, the Sadducees and Pharisees and the others. And he recognized and attracted to himself and singled out those who loved the truth, like Nathanael, whom he saw under the fig tree, whom he called a true Israelite, in whom there is no guile, in whom there is no deceit. His eternal kingdom is a kingdom not of this world. It's not like the kingdoms and governments of this world with all their politicking and power plays. It's a kingdom of truth. Its only defense is the truth. Its only weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The previous chapter in John, the high priestly prayer, confesses that the Father has sent his Son into the world to witness to the truth. And now the Son is sending the disciples out into the world also to witness to that same truth. And as we go out into the world, we are reminded by the high priestly prayer and by our current text too that we are not of the world. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. We're not of this world, but we are in it. We're not to try to escape it, because we are in it. And so we don't try to escape it by trying to find a comfortable position for ourselves, a sinecure somewhere, a sinecure of a parish where we can take it easy and coast and so forth, without having to exert ourselves over much in witnessing to that truth. Even before Pilate, even in that particularly stressful situation before Pilate, Jesus continued to witness to the truth, appealing to the governor, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." It's as though he's saying to Pilate, "Pilate, I appeal to you, be a man of truth. Listen to what I'm saying to you." But Pilate sends him off with his curt and cynical reply, "What is truth?" And so Jesus has to pay the ultimate penalty for his testimony to the truth. He pays that penalty in order to bring into being the forgiveness of all the untruthfulness, all the unbelief, all the sin of the entire world. And through that word which is now preached by the church, Jesus' appeal continues to go out to a world that is sunk in lies and is subject to the father of lies. His appeal is always to listen to his voice. And he prayed in the high priestly prayer, "I pray for those who will believe through their word," through the word that goes out, the apostolic word going out to the ends of the world. Listen to his voice in that word, enter his kingdom of truth. His message always has that ring of truth that Philip talked about. It should have started to ring true for Pilate, but he loved darkness rather than light, and he let Jesus get under his skin. I recall a young man for whom these words had the ring of truth. During my days as a seminary student, he was a university student, and we sang in the same choir in North Adelaide. He said to me one day, "I just know that the New Testament is true, that all the words of the New Testament are true." Later, he was fatally injured in a motorcycle accident in Sydney and entered the kingdom of truth in all its glory. Now, Philip, who wrote that little book, Ring of Truth, and testified to the truth so ably himself, mentions how when he translated the New Testament, he kept on making fresh discoveries of the truth. He called them serendipities. A serendipity is a happy and unexpected discovery. One serendipity came my way this week in preparing lectures on 1 Peter. And it fits in nicely with this morning's gospel. It wasn't a discovery of something in the New Testament itself, but rather of how the Greek New Testament has influenced our English language. I discovered through Selwyn's commentary that our word parish derives from the Greek word paroikia. Through Old Latin, parochia, as we have parochial school and so forth, and French paroissie or something like that. Have to check with Revenel. It comes through the old French into English, our word parish. And there's a line, a very clear line, from paroikia to parish. And I checked Selwyn's commentary in a very good dictionary, and this dictionary confirmed what that commentary had said. Now, that Greek word paroikia means the community of sojourners in a particular place, with the emphasis on sojourning. It's the community of God's people who live in this world in exile from their true home in heaven. And so the word parish is a very beautiful and rich word. As Christians, then, we belong to a kingdom that is not of this world. Heaven is our home, our true citizenship is there. In this world, all of you are just like me, resident aliens. Green card holders, you might say. We have no permanent city here, but we seek the city which is to come. As Luther said, the more mature a Christian is, the more he longs to enter the heavenly kingdom in all its glory. In one of Bach's cantatas, "Come, sweet death," that is the Christian's prayer. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, thy kingdom come," as we heard in yesterday's sermon. The Christian sets his mind on things above, not on things on this earth, but above, where Christ, his King and Saviour, is seated at the Father's right hand. He sets his hope fully on the hope laid up for him in heaven. "Wake, awake," we just sang, "for night is flying. Don't get too settled here. The bridegroom is coming." But while on the way, unterwegs, as the Germans would put it, while on the way to our Saviour in heaven, we follow his example in using every opportunity, as he did, to witness to the truth, so that others too may come to faith through that same word. May he give us all his grace to that end. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.